I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
The specific things that really we're getting into now where we're preparing for specific opponents. And so just like last week when Miami comes to town and you're starting to prepare for that type of defense, a lot of the improvements happen, you know, within the meeting room and things like that. His process of how am I going to study this team? How am I going about executing the game plan that we're going to put together for specific team? And so Buffalo, totally different style of defense coming in. And really, that's the biggest thing that we're looking for as a staff is just him continuing to develop and handle that classroom work.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, hour number three with you until 9 o'clock this evening on 670 The Score. That was Bears offense coordinator Declan Doyle talking about the next step of preparation for Caleb Williams, not just now about learning the playbook, but also preparing for a certain opponent. He did it last week against the Miami Dolphins, although that was applied in the joint practice. They've got another joint practice this week against the Buffalo Bills, and so that's what they're working on now. I think what you and I would love to see is some of that happen on Sunday with live reps, a live game against the Bills. But again, you know, the preparation for an actual defense, that does happen in a joint practice. That did happen against the Dolphins, and so they're working on specifics now, just like they'll be doing it for real against the Minnesota Vikings coming up week one, September 8th on Monday Night Football. Speaking of Football Talk and the Score, presented by Paramount Plus, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. to get started today. Speaking of games on national television, the great Adam Amin joined us in the 6 o'clock hour. Enjoyed that conversation. Got to discuss, you know, his thoughts on being around Ben Johnson. He spoke to him a number of times when he was the offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions, with Adam calling games on Fox. I thought Scott Baer was great in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Covering the Bears, we'll talk to Patrick Finley in just a couple minutes as well. We did go Cubs heavy there in the second half of the 7 o'clock hour. I did mention this this Mike Sando list of the Athletic. This is, you know, this is rather well regarded when he does his 2025 QB tiers. Reason being, because he speaks with six general managers, six assistant GMs, six former GMs, five other executives, eight head coaches, 19 other coaches, including 15 coordinators. And they rank their QBs. The tier one quarterback that can carry his team each week, I bet you out there can probably guess who those are. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, they were tied, by the way, at number one. Josh Allen, three. Lamar Jackson, four. Matthew Stafford, five. The leader of the tier twos came in number six overall, Jaden Daniels. Now, you're probably wondering, where does Caleb Williams fall in? Tier three quarterback. By the way, the tier three quarterback, a legitimate starter, but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. Caleb Williams came in at number 23. That is behind Bo Nix as well. So you got Jaden Williams, you got Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, I'm sorry. You know, it's interesting. You have all of these coaches and GMs kind of assessing Caleb Williams. Let me read you some of the quotes. By the way, none of these names were on actual record. They're all anonymous sourcing of the voting. But Sando writes, voter after voter raised the same concerns. Quote, he is definitely a one talent. I just think it's going to take him longer than Jaden Daniels. He is not playing fast right now. There's something there. His processing to me was alarming watching the tape. Another assessment from one of these anonymous sources, quote, he's very talented. Ben is more under center. Caleb is more of a gun quarterback. That dynamic is going to be interesting to me. I would not be shocked if the kid plays well. Ben is good. He can adjust. I'm sure they will find a happy medium somewhere. It is interesting to me that you have these coaches and general managers assessing Caleb Williams. And as I read through the breakdown of Caleb, no one really acknowledged the terrible coaching that he got in year one. Like, I am someone who remembers that his head coach at the end of the year, at one point, was his second offensive coordinator who began the season as his passing game coordinator. Keep up with that. The passing game coordinator, which halfway through the season, it sounded like he'd never spoken to before, was his second OC who then became his head coach. So you may go, well, Bo Nix is ahead of him on the list. Okay, well, Bo Nix has had Sean Payton. All right? Let's keep in mind just the woeful start that Caleb Williams had. I'm not making excuses for him. If you think Shane Waldron was a great offensive coordinator, that's your burden, not mine. Same goes with head coach and Matt Eberflus. Things have changed. You know, Caleb Williams, who had real concerns about the Bears, and I understand that, he now has the best available quarterback tutor. He now has the best available teacher that was out there in Ben Johnson, the one that a lot of organizations would ultimately give up to have. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Guests, join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Let's talk more about that quarterback and Caleb Williams. We'll do so with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick, you're the best. Thanks for joining us this evening. Let's begin here. Do you have a clear understanding as why the Bears approached it the way that they did with not playing Caleb Williams in preseason game one?
I mean, the short answer is nobody wants to get their quarterback hit. And that's not something that coaches talk about out loud very often, but that's why. And he also thought that if Caleb didn't start on Sunday, then he could put Caleb through a 70-ish play workout really early that morning. He could bring Caleb back on Monday and have at least a half-speed, three-quarter-speed practice. And those are two things you couldn't do if he was getting hit. I mean, to me, I don't think it's quite the same as the game. And he even said yesterday, like, I understand there's no substitution for live bullets, but he's trying to make up for it by, you know, stealing some rest here and there, you know, to at least make sure that Caleb wasn't just standing around for 3 days.
So ultimately, he didn't feel like Caleb was ready, at least is that that's kind of how I read it. I'm somewhat okay with it, although it's going to get real in about a month from now. But did it just look like ultimately for this Sunday preseason week number one, he didn't think Caleb was ready yet?
No, I don't think it's a readiness thing. I think it is a caution thing completely. You look back at what the Lions did with Jared Goff, you know, in the three seasons that Ben was there. Jared Goff played, what, through six passes in year one and then didn't play at all in each of the last 2 years. I realized that, you know, it is apples and oranges. Goff is a veteran. Goff's been to a, you know, had been to a Super Bowl by the time he got to Detroit. But, you know, they don't believe in playing a ton of starters in the preseason. And when they talk about these joint practices being good, you know, it's because you can go kind of quasi live, but still your quarterback's wearing that orange jersey. Nobody can touch him. You know, you get to control some of these situations and kind of put a halo around the guy. I was reading something yesterday that, you know, I think half the teams in the NFL just kind of on average are going to lose a starter in the preseason. You know, the Bears don't want to be that. They may have already joined that group with Jalen Johnson, depending on how quickly he recovers. I don't have an issue with them trying to limit their players' exposure to injury. I mean, you even look at Alexander Mattison in the game on Sunday, the running back for the Dolphins. You know, he's not a starter, but, you know, he landed on his head and had neck surgery at the hospital and is out for the year That's, you know, if you can avoid, I mean, football comes with risks, you know, it's 100% injury rate, but if you can avoid that for a little bit, they're well suited to it. I will tell you though, you know, when he worked Caleb out in the morning, part of the reason for that is in the regular season, you can't work out a practice squad guy after, I think, 9 a.m. for a noon game, a three-hour window there. I'm not quite clear if that applies to preseason games, but just as a rule of thumb, that's why they wanted to knock it out, get it done, and then be able to turn their attention to the guys who were going to play in that game.
Where is Caleb Williams from day one of training camp until now?
I think he's better. You know, I don't think he's there, obviously. The things that I find assuring if I'm a Bears fan is that a lot of the pre-snap stuff is just cleaner than it was in the first couple of days, and certainly than it was during OTAs. You know, they're getting to the line of scrimmage quick and then kind of evaluating from there. Not as much false starts, not as much delays of game as we saw at the start of camp. You know, that sounds like a small thing, but really it sets the tempo, you know, even on a back practice field. You know, you get one of those or two of those and practice just drags and you see it in everybody's face that, my God, we can't even get this stuff right. Lately, he's been a lot better at all of that.
He's Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. Judson Richards along with you tonight on 6-7 The Score. So, Patrick, let's talk about that infamous Tuesday practice and from a larger picture, what has been unique about a Ben Johnson-led training camp?
It was the most physical practice I've seen, you know, in my life. And it was, you know, it was really fun to watch up close. You know, there were some parts of it that were, you know, pretty violent. You know, I mean, Doug Kramer, you know, got hurt and insisted on staying in the game. And then when he bent over to snap the football, like almost fell forward and they had to, you know, have him limp off. You know, that is scary stuff, but the players were really excited about it. As the practice wore on, you could just feel the intensity on both sides. And, you know, that's not something you usually get even, you know, in a full padded, full go practice that, you know, of which they're allowed only a handful because of the CBA. I think that's a good sign. You know, does it mean anything? I don't know. You know, let's look back at Matt Eberflus when, you know, and here's his first OTAs. The Bears actually had one taken away from them because he was being too physical during the OTAs and people complained to the players union. That didn't mean that Matt Eberflus was going to be a great coach because, you know, he was really tough on a backfield one day. And I suppose that you can't say that about Ben either. But, you know, when you have veterans like Kevin Byard saying, boy, I've never really done anything like that before, you know, that makes you take notice.
Has Ben Johnson been as advertised? I don't know exactly what that means because we haven't gotten to games yet. But, you know, what do you make of the new ball coach so far?
He is, I think, always at a boil. And does a really good job of hiding it. You know, he is, and I've used this in print a couple of times, and I think it's true. There is an emotional maturity to him in terms of the way he interacts socially that I think is really impressive. He's somebody who, in front of us, is super, super direct. I asked him Sunday, hey, you know, these rookies, you know, whether it's Colston Loveland or Luther Burden or Kyle Monongai, are they at a point where you can trust them now that you know where they're going to be on a certain play? And he said, no, they're not. And then explained it and, you know, sat there and said, you know, I'm going to need to see it before I can trust it. And, you know, there are coaches that would sit there and, you know, either give a boilerplate, yes, of course I trust every player on our team, you know, or, you know, a coach who could, you know, would sit there and say, you know, something kind of equally obtuse the other way. You know, he's really good at being direct and then explaining himself in a way that makes sense to most people. I hope for all of our sake that he doesn't lose that once the games start to count. I also think, you know, and you and I think have talked about this maybe off mic, but, you know, this is a guy who wrote a poem about Brian Piccolo. And this is also a guy, who after, you know, his players had the most physical practice I'd ever seen, you know, kind of huddled them together and said, good, that was good. he's both ends of the spectrum there, and that's really interesting to watch as we get to know him.
Yeah, no doubt. The Matt Eberflus, everything is fine. When nothing was fine at times, it's hard to really describe or even decipher what that does to a locker room. But the messaging, when you're just saying something that is totally false, and everyone knows that it is, versus actually just speaking the truth, it just feels like it's just a I think competency is the word that comes to mind. Now, as you mentioned, after week one, after week two, after week three, especially after some difficult losses, how straight will he be? How direct will he be? I don't expect him to go in the other direction, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't. You know, there's a school of thought among coaches that you don't want to air out any of your players publicly. Right. And then, though, the fan base looks at a coach who then acts as though he stands for nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in especially in Chicago, the fans don't put up with that. Chicago's a pretty no BS place, and they need somebody who will speak to them in that manner. You know, the losses are frustrating, but I think really around here when coaches lose the fans, and boy, I've covered enough coaches who have lost the fans, it's because they fail to acknowledge reality. It's not because they're losing games. It's they're losing games and then are sitting there and, you know, for lack of a better word, trying to gaslight everybody into thinking that what they're seeing isn't happening.
Yeah, he's Patrick from the Chicago Sun-Times, always does a great job covering the beat of the Bears. Speaking of reality, Patrick, and I've been fooled by this a time or two of just watching a guy go up against twos and threes in a preseason game, but I was impressed by Kyle Manunga. He's a guy who never turned the football over, not one time at Rutgers. He ran hard. Looks like a guy who understands how to take care of the football. What should we make of Manunga thus far?
My coworker Jason Leisure has teased me for months that I have a man crush on him because he is the guy off a draft day that I sat there and went, boy, this guy could be really interesting, you know, and not that Burden or Ozzie or Loveland won't be, but you know, they're supposed to be. It's more interesting to follow a guy who's not supposed to be. Yeah, he is physical and that's really fun to see, you know, even in this practice on Tuesday, you know, he was mixing it up with guys. But the other thing is he is a professional. And I realize that, you know, calling somebody a pro doesn't really stir the emotions when, you know, he's being paid and therefore is an actual professional. But you hear coaches talk about him, about, you know, taking notes, being in the front of the room, you know, letting the world know that it really matters to him. He doesn't act like a rookie in the classrooms or really on the field. They talk about, you know, he'll make a mistake in practice and then he'll never make that mistake again. And especially if you're a low guy on the roster, one of the great compliments you could ever receive from a coach is that, you know, you go about your business the right way and you listen and you're learning. And that's really exciting. And I don't know if this is going to translate into rushing yards once the games matter. This may just be he's a special teams guy for a while and we see what shakes out. But I've really been impressed by him across the board, physically and, you know, mentally so far during training camp.
Want to make a prediction for week one carries from Manunga?
Four? How about that? I mean, what's interesting about the whole thing is that, you know, as we sit here right now, Travis Homer is a running back, but he is a special teams player first. He's going to make the team for sure. You know, Roshan Johnson, I think, ideally is their short yardage back. You know, Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron didn't use him as one last year, which was very confusing because that's what he's good at. But, you know, we'll see what he can do. You know, there's a chance that Manunga can take that role. I do think, though, that DeAndre Swift, you know, for all of the concerns about him not hitting the hole and him trying to hit a home run every time he touches the ball, he's so good in the pass game, and he's got really good hands, and he's great in the open field. I think that he still does a lot of things that are going to make him kind of the bell cow back here, unless there's an injury that happens or unless one of these guys just forces their way onto the field.
I'll see your four. I'll raise you three. I'm going to say get seven carries Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. Speaking of that Vikings game, who's the leader in the clubhouse for the left tackle position, Patrick?
You know, I came into camp thinking that it was probably Braxton Jones's job to lose. You know, you sit there and go, if you can have a four-year veteran be the starter on national television at left tackle against a defense that blitzes on every play, that's probably the answer you want. It's probably not the rookie. But I think that Ozzie's been playing better than Braxton has thus far. And to me, the question then becomes, you know, if you're going to sit there and say that the tape doesn't lie and we're going to take the guy with the best tape, you know, at some point, don't you factor in experience? Don't you factor in wanting the best performance in that week one game? I think it would make so much sense to start Braxton as the starter and then give him a chance to succeed or fail And if he fails, you hand it to Ozzie, and Ozzie might be your starter for the next 5 years. I think that's probably the way I would draw it up. But if Ozzie outplays him during training camp, and you know you've got a new coaching staff who needs to prove to their players that they believe what they say and they say what they mean, and you know they speak with actions and not just words. If Ozzie outplays him, I don't know how they could justify not putting Ozzie out there. I think he's been very good. I'll tell you this: Karan Amagaji is the third of the three there. I always kind of felt like they were including him just out of politeness, for lack of a better word. You know, he's banged up. He came back Monday, and we'll see what he can do. But I think he's probably a swing tackle at best right now.
And a left tackle position, and all of them for that matter, is one of those we could discuss and really watch closely for the next month. And let's say it's Braxton Jones. If he has a bad first quarter, it could be Ozzie Trapillo by the second quarter very quickly. So, you know, certainly at least you've got someone who looks like they're pushing on the starting left tackle. And that says a lot about the guy out of Boston College. Patrick, finally, your guy, you went to University of Missouri. It was kind of a sluggish start for Luther Burden first couple months, especially because of the soft tissue issue. But Burden's come on fast. Looks like he's gained favor, certainly with Ben Johnson. May not have been there early on. What have you made of kind of the quick turnaround of Burden?
I think when you get the ball in his hands, he's a hell of a player. And now the question is, how are you going to do that? And how are you going to get him to the point to where he knows what every motion is? He knows where every route is at every receiver position. How do you get him coached up to where he's not going to hurt you with a false start or by lining up in the wrong spot before the snap? I think that may take a while. And because of that, I'll be curious to see whether he ends up winning that punt returner job. Be curious whether they use him a little bit like we saw DJ Moore earlier in camp, where you put him in the backfield and just kind of give him the ball and you know, watch magic happen that way. I think if Burden, you know, can buckle down and learn this stuff cold, he has a chance to be a really, really impactful player for them. And they believe that too, which is why it's so important for him to get it figured out. You know, there was a moment in practice last week where Burden went in motion from right to left and kind of stopped by the right tackle. And Caleb had to kind of come out of his crouch and wave him all the way across to the far left-hand side of the field. They got the playoff and, you know, everything was fine. But that's a little thing that when we talk about, is Ben Johnson going to be able to trust you? You can't be making those sorts of mistakes more than once on a backfield. And I think with Burden, I'm not sure he's at that point yet where they can trust that he's going to be exactly where he needs to be all the time.
Patrick, you are the best. I always appreciate your time. I also really love the Chicago Sun-Times. All I need to do to read your sports section, give you an email address. I'm in there immediately. It is free. Great content covering all Chicago sports. Continue success on the beat, Patrick, and look forward to getting a week one here shortly.
That's a great ad for the Sun-Times. God bless you. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks, Patrick. And I mean it, too. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things that are behind paywalls. I respect a paywall. They, you know, they've got to, for example, The Athletic, right? I pay for The Athletic, but that is not the Chicago Sun-Times. So Patrick Finley, Jason Leisure, Matty Lee, Joe Calley. It's a lot of great stuff right there with the Chicago Sun-Times that is free for you. Coming up next, what happened Sunday before the game between the Dolphins and the Bears? We know that there was that throwing session, the intense throwing session, 70-plus plays they went through. We've heard from Ben Johnson on it. DJ Moore was a part of it. He talked about it. What was that like? We'll hear from him coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different.
Your style should too.
At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think we're standing good. It always feels bad when we're out there, but when we go back and look at the tape, it says a different story. So, I mean, everybody wants to chase perfection, and that's what we're doing. And if we could get close to it, I mean, we do it.
All right, that was DJ Moore who spoke to the media today. DJ Moore, of course, the Bears wide receiver, one of the wideouts we did not see play on Sunday, but they were busy at work before that game on Sunday, and then they practiced today, had a joint practice Friday. Again, you know, when we say they did not play Caleb Williams preseason week one or they didn't run him out there, no, they didn't play the starters. Like, the Bears decided not to play the starters, and that happens all around the NFL. These head coaches absolutely love joint practices, right? Because they can, number one, put the team in the exact situations that they want, and they can keep their quarterback healthy, right? You put the red jersey on the quarterback, you feel like you get great work in, and it's a controlled environment. You get as close to the live reps as you can in a controlled environment. But, you know, this training camp is so much about tutor and student, right? This is about teacher Ben Johnson and student Caleb Williams. Now, I actually, as I was thinking about this, it made me think of, and I need to watch this back, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 was so good, right? And I believe the teacher in the movie, I want to say, was it Pai Mei? I'm reading it here. I don't know how to pronounce it. The teacher for Uma Thurman with the white beard. Remember, he would pull at that white beard. Well, this is your Ben Johnson. This is teacher and student. Before we hear more from DJ Moore about what happened before that game in the workouts, this is Ben Johnson after the game discussing what he did with the offense 3 hours before the game.
You know, we had five of those pass catchers. We had three receivers, a tight end, and a running back, and we ended up probably getting 70-plus, call it, plays on air there. And it was, we tried to make it as similar to what we would do in practice as possible. We're calling a play, or I'm giving him the play. He's calling in the huddle. We're coming up. We got motions. We got it's first down, second down, third down. We're changing everything up, and so you talk about timing and rhythm, anticipation, being on the same page in the passing game. That's where there is no substitute for real live bullets. I get that. But at the same time, when you can accumulate 70 plus reps in a day, that's pretty good. That goes a long way in terms of where you want to go with the connection with the quarterback and his pass catchers. So, I wish I could do that every day with him or every other day with him, to be quite frank with you. So it was a good time to do it. You know, we'll see what next week has in mind in terms of how much we want to play guys and all that. But, you know, we'll assess that with the staff going forward.
So basically what Ben Johnson and the Bears did is they got the offense as close as they could get to live reps while keeping everyone healthy in preseason week one. Right, this is not any sort of a panic move. This is not Caleb's not ready. This is what's being done around the NFL. Now, there are teams like, you know, Patrick Mahomes played a full quarter, but Patrick Mahomes also has a much better understanding about what is happening within his offense than Caleb Williams does. You've got, you know, different strokes for different folks, and you had the joint practice for the Bears. And by the way, they have a joint practice against the Bills coming up at the end of this week. so we may not see him again. But here is DJ Moore on this offense with the Bears.
DJ, when they first told you they wanted to try some stuff out with you, you know, in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. What did I think?
Yeah.
I was just like, go ahead, add it all onto the plate now. I mean, just be an athlete at this point, and I got to learn it all, and that's what I'm doing.
What do you like? Is there something you like about catching the ball out of the backfield?
I mean, it don't matter. As long as I can make a positive play out of it, I'm cool with it.
Along those lines, have they given you any wide receivers who play a little running back to watch on tape, or is there anybody that you've watched who's done this stuff out of the backfield to try and, like, take something out of their bag?
No. I just go out there and do the assignment and go off of instincts when I get the ball in my hand.
Did they bring up the idea of you in the backfield in OTAs or before training camp? When was that first kind of plan?
Whenever they told me is when they told they might have told me back then, but I don't really be paying, like, I don't pay too much attention because I was still learning, like, where I'm playing at and all and moving all around. So when they told me it was an install for back, it was like, okay, another thing to learn, but I mean, it's going well.
They talk about wanting to just get the ball in your hands. Do you feel comfortable taking handoffs if you had to, or no? Really not there yet?
No, I feel comfortable. I don't, like I said, just being an athlete at this point, you just do it all and just attack it.
Can you give some context to help us understand how much the extra workload is to learn that on top of responsibility?
I mean, I just break it up in the different parts. You got the receiver part, you got the running back part, and then you got the whole concept part. And, I mean, it's daunting, but, I mean, I get paid the big bucks to do it, so why not?
You don't throw the running back game, so you...
Do I go to run it? I did one time, but that was it. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was just me and EB. No, it was just me and EB sitting there talking about running back.
All right, so that was DJ Moore on getting some work in the backfield. And, you know, something that I've talked about regularly is what really we know about the Ben Johnson offense. Because for those that study this, for those that study the NFL for a living, you know, it's hard to know what Ben Johnson and the Bears offense is going to look like because Ben Johnson doesn't come from a coaching tree, right? Ben Johnson creates plays. I mean, what do they do? Like half a dozen hook and ladders last year. I mean, you know, the stumble bump play, like he is an outside the box thinker. But the one thing that you can say, this is what happened with the Detroit Lions offense. The very, very first one, they run the ball. So they run it, and they run it, and they run it, so you make sure that you have a real threat when you run the play-action pass. You would see the Detroit Lions run the ball on 3rd and 12 at times. They just ran the football. The other thing that the Lions offense did that was rather unique is Amon-Ra St. Brown would virtually be anywhere and everywhere. You don't see that with a lot of star wide receivers that take the ball out of the backfield. Because you know what else happens when you line up as a running back? Oftentimes, you may not get the ball, and you will have to block. So Amon-Ra St. Brown would line up all the way out. He would line up in the slot. He would play running back. He would block as a running back as well. He was used virtually anywhere and everywhere. And you know whose skill set reminds you a little bit of Amon-Ra St. Brown? Is a guy named DJ Moore. And I just looked it up. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 foot, 202 is what he's listed at ESPN.com. DJ Moore, 6 foot, 213. So DJ, according to ESPN.com, 11 pounds heavier. They are virtually very same size. For my money, very similar skill set to an athleticism. Who would you want more? Great quarterback, I would take either of them. I mean, I don't know. Tyler, do you have an opinion on who's better, DJ Moore or Amon-Ra St. Brown? To me, I would just take the guy who's got the better quarterback, and I think that their skill set is going to pop as long as they're getting the ball accurately.
Right now, I would say Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't think DJ Moore has gotten that opportunity as much because, I mean, he started off with Carolina, didn't have a great quarterback situation there.
Yeah, I mean, if you put DJ Moore with the Detroit Lions, you may feel like you'd get a similar outcome as you have with Amon-Ra St. Brown, right?
Exactly. But yeah. I would also say St. Brown is at least from what we've seen on the tape, is a better blocker. We've seen in last year and the year before that DJ Moore kind of led back on the blocking. Like, he wasn't that much into it, you know? And so now he mentioned of how Ben Johnson says, no block, no rock.
I was just going to say four words, no block, no rock.
So I'm curious to see how, with him lining up in the backfield now, of how he's, how much more he's practicing and actually giving a damn about blocking.
Well, and by the way, blocking as a running back is not necessarily blocking as a wide receiver out wide. Think about who you're blocking coming downhill when you get closer to the football. You know, I had, there was a college football coach who once said to me, and he was talking about college, but you can still apply it to the NFL. The closer to the ball you get, more of a man you have to be. And if you think about it, the closer the ball you get, the fatter and heavier and stronger those guys get. So who Amon-Ra St. Brown was blocking, besides just being a willing blocker, is very different. You're not blocking a cornerback. You're not blocking a safety. You may be blocking some of the toughest linebackers or whoever it may be coming downhill at the line of scrimmage, because that play, that ball may not go to you. You may want the defense to think that the ball is going to you, and then it doesn't, and then you've got to block. So this will be interesting to see. You know, it's fascinating to think about. DJ Moore is not one of the affordable Bears players, right? Like, yeah, I'm sure he's in the top five off the top of my head. He's probably top four paid Bears. But there is a ton of weaponry on this team that's affordable. First of all, Caleb Williams is still on a rookie deal. And then you've got Colston Loveland, you've got Roma Dunze, you've got Luther Burden III, right? I mean, there's a lot of weaponry on this team, and it's just going to be very, very curious to see how Ben Johnson decides to use it, right? And I back to the teacher versus student, this is now about how Ben Johnson can put the student in a place to succeed, and it is on the student to figure it out. Sam Darnold, what changed Sam Darnold's career, in my opinion? Great teaching. Kevin O'Connell put Sam Darnold in a place to get to 4,300 yards passing. A forgotten player in the NFL. A number one overall pick that had been thrown away. No, he wasn't number one overall. It was Baker Mayfield, a top three pick. Where'd he go? Number two, number three to the Jets. Sam Darnold. Tyler, come on. You're supposed to know every single one of these things when they pop up in my mind. Definitely a top four. Definitely a top three. Tyler, do you even know how the internet
works?
He
was, I know, this stupid internet. He was third overall.
Third overall.
Yep, because you had Baker, Saquon, Sam Darnold, and then Denzel Ward.
What did that Saquon guy ever become?
I know, right? He's doing okay.
All I know is if you were a team who selected him at number two overall, you would never let him get away, right? Just kidding. Went from the Giants to the Eagles to a Super Bowl champ. No, but how Sam Darnold got there is a great teacher. But the student also needs to be able to get it done. But man, that's fascinating. Yeah. This is the first sort of real inkling of, oh, okay. Yeah, 33 points a game, Detroit Lions. You see if you can just slide on over to Chicago. When was the last time you saw Chicago perennially have the best offense in the NFL? Because Ben Johnson, 33 points a game over the last 3 years. That's better than a guy named Sean McVay. That's better than a guy named Kyle Shanahan that is best in the league. And it'll be so interesting to see how they figure it out. You want to respond to that? 312-644-6767. Also, I've got a movie idea. And it has to do with the umpire kid. I'll tell you about it. Coming up next.
Bradley!
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize.
With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Give us strikeout call, will you?
All right, of course.
Yeah. All right, final stop. Back here with you on 6-7 The Score. Judson Richards along with you. What do they call him? We call him the umpire kid, the kid umpire, the ump kid, the kid ump. Everybody's so mad at a kid who likes being an umpire. God, so mad. I've got a movie reboot. We're going to get to that in just a minute. I did want to mention this, though. Colson Montgomery has homered again. This from the great Sarah Langs on the X Twitter. 23-year-old Colson Montgomery, the youngest player in White Sox history with 10-plus home runs in an 18-game span. Good for Colson. I mean, sincerely. I mean, this was a guy I kind of thought he may never come anywhere near to the guy that they want him to be. He's sent back to Arizona, right? Like literally plucked out of AAA and sent back to Arizona, which, by the way, now I'm wondering why aren't more organizations doing it with how well it worked for him. But yeah, Colson Montgomery setting records now in the big league level. Who would have thought that Colson Montgomery would have a better second half of the season than Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong? Honestly. I mean, that's how good Colson has been, so good for him. Just to update you on the game there, I had these scores up a minute ago. Tigers and the White Sox tied at one there. And I, you know, the Cubs were off, so I thought, we'll get a little break of having to watch the standings. No, the Brewers, they're playing, and the Brewers, they are winning. Brewers are beating the Pirates 7-1 in the eighth inning. So the Cubs run the risk of falling 6.5 games back in their own division. You know, they now have the fifth best record in baseball. If the Tigers do beat the White Sox, I think that the Cubs would probably fall to sixth best. Felt like just 4 days ago, they had the second best record in all baseball. And oh, by the way, the Cubs have the Blue Jays tomorrow night, the AL East leading Blue Jays in Toronto. 6 o'clock game right here on 6-7 The Score. So it's put up or shut up time. I know that we're only, you know, approaching mid-August, but season comes at you fast, man. And the Cubs, Craig Counsell needs to get this team playing with a little bit more positive energy. Can we get some good vibes going? Create some good vibes. I'm not likes to fight guy. Wouldn't mind a fight to help change the mood a little bit, right? It's just been bad. Bad vibes all around. Get Kyle Tucker going and see what this team can do. All right, so did you know, Tyler, 32 years ago today, can you guess what player, what movie, what fictional character made his MLB debut?
32 years ago?
32 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, so you were probably negative however
many
years
old.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot, I can't think.
All right, well, take a guess. It was a kids baseball movie set in Chicago.
Wow, this is going to make me look really bad.
No. Well, I don't want to make it look bad. 32 years ago today, 12-year-old Henry Rowengartner made his MLB debut in front of 35,000 fans at Wrigley Field, becoming the youngest player in Major League Baseball history, at least in the movie, of Rookie of the Year. All right? So Rookie of the Year came out. You've heard of the movie, right?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've actually seen it yet.
You've never seen Rookie of the Year?
No, and I've been yelled at people for not watching it yet.
You could do better things with your time. How about this reboot? Rookie of the Year, the umpire kid.
I would love that.
Would you? People have been so bothered by this nice kid getting a little TV time.
Like, it's a kid. If it was a grown man dressing up as an umpire in the stands,
he should be removed from the stadium.
Every stadium.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's like, we got 3 hours of baseball. We can give a nice kid a little TV time who's just been drawn to something different on the field. Let's appreciate it. All right, let's start, you and me. Maybe after the show, we'll start working on the movie script.
I'll get the pen going.
If you missed anything, Adam Amin was great, as was Patrick Finley, and so was Scott Baer, Tyler Butterbaugh. Great work by you. Thanks for your effort tonight, buddy. If you missed it, find it on the Odyssey app. I'm Judson Richards. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.
I profoundly apologize.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You did your best.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.